Peace be unto you. Welcome to the Dean Show, an amazing show for you today. We're going to be talking about martial arts. Bruce Lee, Gracie, the legendary family that rocked the world. We're going to be talking about these exciting things and more. We're talking about bullying, an epidemic today. We're going to be talking about dieting, giving you some great tips here with the family that started the Ultimate Fighting Championships, built it from the beginning, from scratch. All of that and more with Henner Gracie. We're going to be trying to give you a bonus also. Not a breakdance, but a breakdown. All of this and more here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
How are you?
Thanks for having me, man.
How you been?
Amazing, man. I'm excited to be here. I've heard about the Dean Show. I've seen other interviews. And I always wondered if I would get the invite.
I'm excited that you accepted the invitation. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, man.
Time is short. You heard me open the show. We mentioned Bruce Lee, the Gracies.
Yeah.
We're tapping into a market. The Dean Show, thank God, is viewed internationally all over the globe. And some people still, they don't know.
Right.
I know. You know, definitely. So some people, we mentioned Bruce Lee now. I was growing up to Bruce Lee. Most of us, we love Bruce Lee. I even went to elementary school, I think in eighth grade, and I put the Kung Fu suit on. I was so hyped.
That was it.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's introduce the people now. They think, man, you know what? Bruce Lee, this guy will kill anybody. He'll just dominate. But now we got Helio Gracie and the Gracie family. Let's get them exposed. Talk to us.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, people, it's one of the most common questions I get, you know, as a member of this Gracie family is who would have won, Bruce or Helio? Bruce or Hoyce, Bruce Hickson, Bruce, anybody. And I think it's just a different era, you know, there's no doubt. And I think that, not to take anything away from Bruce is a very dedicated martial artist. And like the Gracie family, he's very dedicated to taking what works and disregarding what doesn't. And in that sense, we're very similar. But if you ask me, Bruce in his prime and any Gracie in their prime, the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu has the advantage simply because Bruce would need to remain standing and striking, whereas the Gracie family would want to close the distance, take him to the ground, and unless he got that one punch or one kick knockout and he goes to the ground, then he's in our territory. You know, at that point, he would use a lot of energy, waste his energy, and he'd get choked out. But we would let go and we'd be friends after, and he would learn Jiu-Jitsu after. That's the funny part.
He's open-minded.
Yes.
See, I'm gonna play the skeptic because I know, but some people don't. So they'll just say, like, look, Bruce Lee would have just been like, whoa!
I know, one punch, one kick, he's done. And the truth is, you know, we never had a chance to test Jiu-Jitsu against Bruce, but we've tested Jiu-Jitsu against every other striking discipline and mastery form of martial art that you could possibly imagine, and all of them felt the same way. 30 years of Taekwondo, 30 years of boxing, 15, 20 years of kickboxing, and they felt they can get that perfect punch or kick. The problem is, in order for the perfect punch or kick to land, I have to be right here at this range. I have to be one arm length away from you. So what does the Gracie do? Stands two arms away, where the punches don't reach. So what does the striker do? I have to get closer to hit him. But when the striker gets closer to hit you and you grab him, you now mess up their distance. So the striker has one chance out of 100 to knock us out. We have 99 chances out of 100 to grab a hold of their clothing, their body, and pull them in. And if we grab them, it's over. Because the distance is no longer there for the punch. My grandfather always said this, in a fight, whoever manages the distance manages the damage that can be done. So if we stay away and then we grab them, that's a done deal.
Amazing. Now, this was proven. This is not a theory.
No, it's not a theory.
And that's where your family came
85 in. 85
years. Your father, how's he doing?
Amazing. Having kids, living the life, chilling, retirement, letting me and he don't run the show. And he's very relaxed.
I'd like to say hello to your father
and the
rest of the family. And we really are grateful and thankful for this, you know, this martial art. Really, I got addicted as soon as I came in. Had a small guy, literally like 130 pounds. I went into, at the time, we were the representatives for the Gracie Academy
right.
here in Chicago, and I was just really into working out. I did a lot of stand-up martial arts. You know, I used to like to throw punches, and then it was all about the bench press. Who can
right.
bench
of course,
more?
Of course.
You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
So I went in there, small guy, got me tired, locked my arm.
Boom.
I was
done.
Addicted.
Done. You had to respect it because it
yeah.
worked.
And yeah. and this is the UFC
yeah.
proved it all. Talk
Correct.
About your family started this, your father.
Well, yeah, because my family had been testing it. When the UFC was created in 1993, for 65 years prior to that, my family had already been testing jiu-jitsu against other disciplines of martial arts. So we already knew jiu-jitsu had superior, you know, superior skills for a real street fight. So it had been tested successfully for so many years that my dad just said, well, if we can put this on television, then we'll be able to answer the most important question of them all. Which system of self-defense is most effective when there are no rules, no time limits, no judges, no points, nothing? You two men go in, one man walks out, and really be able to test once and for all what really works. And I think that, you know, we accomplished that because UFC 1, for any of you out there who've never seen, you know, the original UFCs, you have to go back. UFC 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the main ones. Because each fighter in that situation represented a discipline. And it was wrestling versus karate, boxing versus jiu-jitsu, savate versus sumo. This is amazing stuff. And you get a chance to really see in a raw setting what really works and what doesn't from the best representatives. But my dad was very clever. He knew that of all the eight representatives, of all the martial artists, he wanted to put the jiu-jitsu representative to be the smallest one, the physically smallest and weakest one, so that when Hoist, the representative from our family, would go in there and defeat these giants, people would not be able to attribute his success to his physical attributes. And when he defeated them, which he did, people said, wow, if the little skinny Brazilian guy can beat the giants, that's what I want to learn. So basically, it was a big demonstration of the effectiveness of jiu-jitsu, and it worked perfectly. Thank God Hoist won, because who knows where we'd be if he didn't. And that was it, man. I haven't put jiu-jitsu on the map. 1993, that went down. 1994... U.S. Army contacted our family. And since then, the U.S. Army has been practicing jiu-jitsu as part of their basic combatives training. 1.2 million soldiers now adopted jiu-jitsu. It's amazing.
It's amazing, amazing, definitely. And anyone I know who's incorporated into their life, even if they've trained 30 years in other martial arts,
right.
I mean, they've tremendously benefit. What about the person who says, look, the martial art that we do is too deadly?
Yeah, my next guest is so dangerous, everybody, that we have a paramedic standing by.
You can't be tested because if we tested somebody, you might end up dead. Have you heard these?
Yeah, we've heard that. And they all generally change their mind once they get choked out and they wake up from the choke and they say, wow, that was pretty amazing. Because these guys, they can't fight in the UFC, but they can come to the academy and they can have a challenge match, which they did for the last 65, 70 years. This happened where guys would come in and we would say, listen, you do what you do. Whether that's headbutt, groin strikes, you want to do that, eye gouge, whatever you want. You do what you do, we'll do what we do, and we'll fight. So let's not get it twisted. People have come and tested these deadly techniques all to no avail. And jiu-jitsu has prevailed. Again, doesn't matter what it is. They need a certain distance. They need access to my face. And if I'm blocking and managing the distance correctly, the strikes and the technique simply don't work.
How about this art where you can't even grab the guy and he's like 20 guys are coming at him and he's doing some stuff, people just falling.
He can actually put you out without even touching you.
Without even touching them. Using energy to interfere with their nervous system.
Please welcome the man with the fingers of death.
I can't wait to learn that one.
Amazing, amazing. We're going to take a break, Kenner.
Let's do it.
And we'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show.
What are we doing here? And where are we going to go? It's like we just woke up one morning and then it's welcome to the show. Don't ask any questions, just go with the flow. Make as much money as you can and try your best not to get broke. Copy everything you see on the TV, from the hairstyles to the clothes, and don't think too often, just do exactly as you're told. And if you ever get confused, then just turn towards the alcohol. You'll still hear your thoughts, then just turn up the radio as you learn to live a lifestyle of drugs, sex, and rock and roll. But in all honesty, I just need to know, is there more to the cycle than growing and getting old? Living and dying just to leave behind a happy home and a whole lot of property that somebody else is going to own. I just really need to know before the casket's closed. Cause I'm not willing to gamble with my soul, nor am I ready to take any chances. These are just simple life questions, and I'm just searching for some answers. Like, what are we doing here? And what is our purpose? How did we get here, and who made us so perfect? And what happens once we go, or is this world all really worth it? Questions we don't answer because apparently we don't really have to. There's no purpose to this life, and our existence is merely natural. Then in that case, please let me ask you, did you create yourself, or was it somebody else who had fashioned you? Cause you're a being that's impeccable, faultless and unparalleled. You're a product of supreme intelligence, and I'm merely being rational. For there isn't a camera on this earth that can come close to the human eye, nor a computer that can compete alongside the human mind. And if the whole world was to come together, we wouldn't be able to create a single fly. So many signs, yet we still deny. As science tries to justify that all this could come from none, when it's a simple sum, 0 + 0 + 0 cannot possibly ever give you one. So from where did all this order come? For everything has its origins, a maker, a creator of its own. I mean, the only reason you're watching this video is because somebody had to press upload. So we can believe in the Big Bang, but I'd rather believe in He who caused it to explode. Allah, the creator of everything along with every single soul. The ever-living, the master, the only one who is in control. Unlike his creation, beyond our imagination. And no, he's not a man, nor does he have any partners in association. He's on his own. And no, he did not ever leave us alone. Just like every manufacturer, he left us with an instruction manual. The Quran and Islam, and I'm sorry to jump to conclusions, but it's the only one possible. The only definition of God is the one and only supreme being. It's logical. A book with zero contradictions, with miracles that are both scientific and historical. All revealed over 1400 years ago. Like the detailed description of the human embryo.
The descriptions of the human embryo in the Quran cannot be based on scientific knowledge in the 7th century.
To the mountains as pegs holding firm the earth below. And the two seas that don't mix in a complete separate flow. To the planets in orbit, alternating night and day as they stay in flow. The expansion of the universe and the creation of everything from H2O. To the stories of the past and the preservation of Pharaoh. To identifying the lowest point in the land where Persia defeated Rome. The gushing fluid that created man in the glands between the ribs and the backbone. And not a word has changed, it's still the same. So please explain how all this was known over 1400 years ago. To a man who couldn't read or write as he would recite whatever the angels spoke. And if you still don't believe, please try to come up with something that's even close. But you can't, so we took God as a mockery and his messengers as a joke. Dismissed his scriptures as legends and tales of the ancient folk as we live life according to our whims, desires, and hopes. Saying this life is the only home we will ever know. We will live then die then simply turn to bones. Yo, lo. Correction. After the grass dies, the rain arrives and it regrows. And Allah promises to do the same thing to your very soul. And bring you back from your very fingertips to your toes. As the all-seeing supreme being watches us so close. And we are surely being tested in our wealth, our health, and our self, and everything that we've been blessed with. So believe, for we will surely be resurrected and be brought back to our Lord and account for every single deed as He hands us our books and orders us to read. From the bad to the good and everything in between. You yourself are sufficient for your own accountability, so don't be mad at me. You are the one who thought he wouldn't come back to me. I gave you a whole life long to search after me. But you were busy in all that which was temporary, so read. And glad tidings to all those who believed. And if you disbelieve, read. And don't let that day be the first day you find out what your life really means. Read.
Back here on the Dean Show with Henner Gracie, your family started, built the UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship. Proof, can we say without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the most effective, proven the most effective martial art in the world, on the planet?
No doubt, no doubt. I think that nowadays we have a lot of people who are merging different disciplines and practicing multiple arts, which is a great thing as well. But when you really, you know, sort them out, there's no doubt that Jiu-Jitsu, our Jiu-Jitsu, has the most proven track record in real combat against other disciplines. So that being said, if you had to choose something to practice, Jiu-Jitsu is the best place to start.
I mean, again, I'm testifying to that because I used to box, stand-up kickbox, and when I incorporated, it was all about, you know, just throwing the punch and, you know, you get your hands broken, you know, headbutting.
Yeah.
But man, it's so soft. It's like a Jiu-Jitsu, the soft
art. So gentle.
It's such a gentle way to subdue someone. You don't even have to hurt them.
And that's I think it's an aspect that a lot of people, a lot of humane individuals really appreciate about it. Because not every altercation you encounter with someone who tries to either offend you or an uncle who gets too drunk at a family gathering and is acting ridiculous and you have to control this person, not every situation warrants ripping someone's eyes out of their sockets. You know what I'm saying? So to have a technique and have a system of self-defense that gives you the full range of options in dealing with someone, whether it be just neutralization holds where you can just control someone against their will until they decide to cooperate, or, you know, deadly techniques where I can break someone's joints or kill someone if I have to. Jiu-Jitsu gives you the full range. And I think that's what people appreciate the most about it, because a lot of times I ask someone, you know, you should learn Jiu-Jitsu. And why don't you? And they say, well, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst answer possible, because my response to them is, yeah, if you're really a lover, then you should learn Jiu-Jitsu, because only then can you control your drunk uncle without hurting them at the kid's birthday party. Because mm-hmm. if you don't know Jiu-Jitsu, what are you going to do? Punch his face in, or it's going to be a bloody brawl.
Yeah.
But with Jiu-Jitsu, no blood, no cuts, no nothing crazy, just control, which ties into our Gracie Bully Proof anti-bullying program, the nonviolence aspect.
That's what I was going to get into next. We know that millions of kids are bullied each year. Hundreds of thousands, they refuse sometimes to even go to class, to school.
Very common.
Tell us about this program that you guys do to help empower children,
yeah,
so they can prevent.
It's major because we grew up in the Gracie family, very fortunate. You know, all around my uncles and my dad and my grandfather, learning how to defend myself from as early as I can walk, I'm learning self-defense. Not every kid had that opportunity. So for us, when my brother and I grew up and we matured and we finally took over the Gracie Academy, it was our belief that if we could create a program that would give families the opportunity and the resources to prepare their children the same way my brothers and I were prepared from an early age, we would be doing a great service for the world, for mankind. And we went for it. We created the Gracie Bully Proof at-home training program, where on DVD or online, someone can have the exact lessons that our father put us through from the beginning. And it starts with Gracie games. They learn how to play Jiu-Jitsu. They don't even know they're learning self-defense. And they're learning the principles of control and movement and closeness and distance management. And once they get that basic foundation, then they learn the rules of engagement. We teach them when they can and when they can't use these techniques in self-defense. Once they understand that side of things, then we start teaching them what's called junior grapplers, junior combatives. And these techniques are the self-defense, 33 techniques, basically, that they'll need for any self-defense situation on school grounds, on the way home from school, to defend against a larger attacker. And the best part, at least that I've gotten feedback from parents around the world, the best part is the nonviolence aspect. Because if you have a kid who's getting bullied and you take him to boxing class or a karate class and you say, hey, go learn some punches and kicks, that child's only resource to aggression or harassment is going to be to punch and kick the aggressor in the face. And you're turning the victim into the bully in that case. So for us, it's not about fighting fire with more fire. It's teaching the children how to fight fire with water. If an aggressor comes, we teach them how to first neutralize it verbally, verbal jiu-jitsu. If that doesn't work, you have to get help. Tell a teacher, tell a parent, tell a grown-up. If that doesn't work and the aggressor still is attacking them, then they can defend themselves with techniques, but only to match the level of aggression coming. So just enough to put out the fire, but no more. And that's the secret. And in that sense, we're creating more respectful, disciplined, tolerant, and confident, more importantly than anything else, young boys and girls.
Hunter, we're going to go to a clip right now, and then we're going to come back. It's really, it's sad to see something like this, but we want the audience to see really the reality of what's going on in some of these schools, and we'll get your thoughts on this.
Let's do it.
Watch as a 15-year-old classmate in the white T-shirt slams Austin to the ground and punches him relentlessly.
Now, you just saw that heartbreaking clip. You see that? I mean, yeah. The kid was just attacked and just beaten. Tell us your thoughts on this.
Well, yeah, this is Austin McDaniel. This happened in Indiana last year, October, November. And
you know him now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So we've since had a chance to train Austin. And Austin was beat up, and someone sent me this video. And, you know, it's sad because every time I see a video like this, because you can imagine how many cases like this are not recorded by school security cameras. 99% are not caught on camera. So to have a chance to see this reminds us of the bullying epidemic that we're dealing with here in the United States. And it inspired me to do something because I knew I could help Austin. So I reached out to his family, and fortunately, they accepted the Gracie Academy offer to come to Torrance, where we actually spent a week training Austin and ultimately empowering him with the physical self-defense techniques and the psychological and the verbal jiu-jitsu techniques. We sent him back after a week, and I can say this, he wasn't the same kid. Basically, we transformed him from the inside out, and he'll never have this problem again for the rest of his life. And if you care to see the actual, the documentary of his week with us, it's on YouTube, Austin McDaniel's 1 Week Transformation.
We know that. I mean, this is something that, like we said, it's an epidemic. It's really scary. So do you believe firmly that now when a kid like Austin, he went through this program now, he's really empowered,
yeah.
You know, and he's able to, you know, diffuse a situation, you know, through verbally or also now if things,
yeah,
you know,
again.
Yeah.
And you know what it is a lot of people say, well, 1 week, come on. How is that possible? Well, I can tell you how it's possible. We had to reprogram Austin in that sense that he was programmed from a very young age. And this is a result of society, his parents and his family, to believe that you cannot be firm, confident, powerful, and strong and outspoken while at the same time be respectful, courteous, humble, loving, caring individual. He thought those two were mutually exclusive. They're not. We taught him to say, no, you can be respectful, humble, courteous, and still be firm, confident, strong, and assertive with yourself. That's what we change in a week. This kid is 5'11", 210 pounds. He's a big boy and very athletic. You know what I'm saying? Very cool kid. We met him, he was great today. He said, no one, we hung out with him all week. What he didn't believe was he could be both. Once we showed him some techniques, nonviolent jiu-jitsu, and we convinced him through these techniques and our connection that he could do whatever he wants with his strength, it changed everything. He went home knowing that he's allowed to assert himself, which he never had permission to do that.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Let's go a little bit into how important is it when you watch. We've all watched Karate Kid.
Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand.
Yeah,
Miyagi.
Very.
You see, really, he taught Daniel some really good ethics and some work discipline, good character. He was really breeding him. Then you got Kodokai.
Right.
Kill, kill, kill. Crazy, you know. And we see that in the martial arts world. We see, like, we've gone away from integrity, good character. When you come in, for instance, to our academy, on the wall, you see the best among you are those who have the best character, the best manners. How important is this to be a complete martial artist?
Well, it's huge because, you know, how important is it for a police officer to have integrity? You give a police officer a gun, a baton, and a taser, and you say, go enforce the law. If that police officer has those tools and those weapons and does not have the integrity to the equal degree, you're putting out a very dangerous individual to society. And martial arts is the exact same thing. We talk about, oh, you know, my hands are registered weapons in 48 states and a lethal weapon and blah, blah, blah. I have tools that can do some serious damage, and we give students those tools, but we make sure at the same time to give the integrity, the humility, and the knowledge of when they are allowed to be used and to what degree, and how they have to control their ultimately how they use these weapons.
Very important. I was going to throw this in earlier because you mentioned someone when you talked to him about training. And they said, right. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Now, another one that I've heard, how do you answer this? When you're really excited to get someone to come and experience mm-hmm. this. So now you start talking to him. He said, look, man, if someone says something to me, I just take out my gun. I'll just blast them.
Yeah, it's pretty, common.
I'm all set.
I know.
What do you say to this?
Where's your gun right now? You got it on you? They go, no, not right now. I say, okay, you're screwed then. You know, what are you going to do? So the bottom line is you don't always have a gun with you, number one. This is easy answers. Number two is not every situation warrants shooting someone in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like you, like I said, the drunk uncle situation or you know, an ex-boyfriend or the liability that comes with hurting someone beyond the call of duty, we don't even want to go that route. But the point is, everyone would like to have the ability to defend themselves against a giant with nothing but their bare hands. Anyone who says otherwise is lying to you. Now, if that's the truth, then why aren't they embarking on the journey? Fear of the unknown. And people out there who think jiu-jitsu might be for them and are fascinated by these discussions, but have not made moves in that direction, what you have to do is check out GracieUniversity.com. We created this website specifically for people who either A, don't live near a qualified academy like the Red Zivic Brothers here in Chicago or the Gracie Academy in Torrance or any one of our certified training centers. A, they live too far from a school, or B, they live really close to a school, but they're too nervous about what's going to go on in the school when they get there. So you go to Gracie University, you watch the first 5 lessons for free, and you get to see what jiu-jitsu is and how the learning takes place. And if you love what you see online, you can either learn there or come visit my friends here and embark on the journey with an entire group of like-minded people who are also on that path to jiu-jitsu mastery and personal mastery at the same time.
We're going to be right back with one more session here with Henner Gracie, a few more questions, and we might even get you to do a little breakdown.
How's come on, bro.
We'll be right back here on The Dean Show.
Is your boss driving you crazy? Are you just living from paycheck to paycheck, party to party, and everything is just getting tiring, it's getting played out, and you're asking yourself, what's this all about? What's the purpose? Many people don't reflect on why am I here? You're born to die, and then what do you got in between? It's a big drama. Some days are good, some days are bad. Some days you're sick, some days you're sad.
We might not make it to 85 years old. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about. The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end. And you will be alone, and you will have to be accountable for everything you've done. Life is not all about just chasing that man or woman or that good time. It's not all about the baseball game and the basketball game and chasing a position and getting a lot of wealth and money. There's more to this life, and it's up to you to be sincere enough within yourself and to want to know more.
What's the purpose? What's it all about? Life.
It's simple to understand. Islam means submission. Look at the word. Submission not to yourself, not to your desires, not to anyone or anything.
Because at the end of the day, you get something, you always want more. You get some weed, you want more. You get some drugs, you want harder drugs. You get a girl, you want a nicer girl. You get a car, you want a nicer car. You get a house, you want a nicer house.
We've got so many pressures by enslaving yourself, worshiping God, loving God.
But submission to the one who created you.
And by worshiping God and seeking His pleasure, you get pleased. And you enter paradise. God bless you.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show with Henner Gracie. How's your brother, Huron?
Oh man, it's great. He has a baby daughter. He don't has a 6-month-old baby daughter,
Congratulations.
Valen.
Congratulations.
Like the most amazing little thing in the whole world. And she's like my niece, and it's amazing, bro.
Henzo Gracie, how's he doing? Your
Henzo,
family?
Henzo, uncles are all traveling.
Uncles are good.
Everyone's going. You know what is crazy is that October 26th, which is the end of this month, Lyoto Machida, who's my student, is fighting against Mark Munoz, who's one of our other students and friends. And Hiron's going to be courting Mark Munoz in the UFC. And I'm going to corner Lyoto Machida. And they're going to be facing each other. The first time brothers will coach opposite each other.
Amazing.
In a main event UFC fight. So we're looking forward to that, even though it's going to be crazy because friends are fighting friends and brothers are coaching against brothers. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Send our best also, Tariq. You know Tariq for the...
Tariq Azim?
Yes.
Empower Gym, San Francisco. The best guy of all time. Yes,
yeah.
My homie.
Beautiful. Let's go ahead and we're going to... a few more points before we come to an end. Tell us about, you know, some in brief, one story I've heard, interesting, that is this true, that someone came in to rob, I don't know if it was your family's house, was it Helios, and they gave him an option. They said, look, yeah. We can call the police, or you're going to have to, you know, let us experiment on you or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. You police or you fight? Which one do you want? He said, man, you know, he said, I think he said call the police because he didn't want, I think he found out who he was dealing with.
Yeah.
But the reality was that's how things were done back in the days. It was, you know, you have a disagreement. You bump into my car in traffic. Okay, get out. You want to call the police or you want to fight right now? In other words, everything was set up with a fight back then. It was so amazing. And I kind of, part of me wishes I was born during that era because that would be give a chance to practice your techniques in real situations. But the other part of me likes America where nobody fights for dumb reasons for the most part. And everything is, you know, humane over here.
What about Hickson? Talk to us just a little bit about Hickson.
Yeah, know, Uncle Hickson is, you know, one of the most legendary and accomplished members of the family in terms of fighting. And you know, Hickson's amazing because he was not only given the technique of Grandmaster Helio, but he was also gifted with a very naturally strong physique. And as a result, he was able to do with jiu-jitsu what most, you know, skinny, unathletic individuals couldn't do and add a little bit of physical athleticism to it. And because of that, it almost like multiplied his efficiency times 10. And because of that, he was able to, you know, remain undefeated and have an amazing career and be a good exemplification of what jiu-jitsu can do, you know, for a person.
We talked a little bit about bullying and people can go to your university and get your DVDs and really encourage people to do that. And it's going to really help them to prevent their children from being the victims tomorrow, empower them. And we want to talk about, you know, a lot of people nowadays are sitting on the couch, becoming couch potatoes, really motivating them through this program to get involved in martial arts.
It's major.
Specifically Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And also dieting is so important.
It is. You
we
know,
want to get this
you need
energy.
Both. You need both. You know, you can be on a diet and you can still be on the couch and you're not going to go anywhere. Or you can get on a great Jiu-Jitsu training regimen and not have a good diet and you'll still, you know, not get in the shape you want. So it's an amazing package to be able to embark on the jiu-jitsu journey. If you're at home, get on GracieUniversity.com and start those lessons. And literally, people are doing it in their living rooms on some carpet with a brother, sister, mother, brother, father, husband, at home, you know, and making it happen. Where in addition to that, though, you have to have, you know, a conscious and awareness about what you're putting in your body. You know, my grandfather always said that people die through their mouths, you know, through what you eat or don't eat. And the Gracie diet is something my family's been, you know, perfecting now for 80 years, started by Carlos Gracie, Elio's older brother, my great uncle. And the Gracie diet is a food combination diet to help facilitate digestion, to you know, ultimately optimize health, vitality, energy, and reserve the greatest amount of energy for jiu-jitsu practice. That was the original intent back in the 1930s and 40s, was to create a diet that would make sure that members of the family were always optimally, you know, healthy, and as a result could fight anyone on a moment's notice when they either break into the house or they knock on the door. We have to be ready to get down.
Yeah, amazing, amazing.
And for more on that, you can go to GracieDiet.com.
GracieDiet.com. Tell us now, you're also known for doing, after some of these major fights, a breakdown. Not a breakdance, but a breakdown.
A breakdown, yes.
Of the fights. Can you do one for us?
Let's do Gracie breakdown. What fight we got?
We got a fight. We're going to go right now to the clip.
Hey, you started it, man, making me look like a jerk at the max.
Well, that's what you are.
What did you say?
You heard me. Get out of my face.
And what if I don't, punk?
Then I'll just have to make you, punk.
Here I am expecting some UFC fight, and you guys are playing Saved by the Bell, Zach Slater and Zach Morris.
Can you break
That's
it
so
down,
funny.
Heather? Can you
yes,
break it down?
Yes, I can break it down. As much as I'd like to break down real fights, we'll pretend this one is real. Yeah. And of course, there's a lot going on here. But initially, when this is how fights start, right? There's this aggro energy.
Exactly.
And we call it combative energy. Every interaction has a degree of combative energy. Ours is zero right now when you have a friend in a calm setting. But if you were, you know, if someone came in here and was drunk and was acting a little ridiculous, it would be like 50%, you know, combative energy. Even though we weren't fighting, he still is aggressing, you know, creating some negative energy. And in a situation like this where there's a disagreement, both people agree that they disagree and they're, you know, they're getting physical, they're showing that aggressive body posture. The first thing you want to try to do is diffuse that through, hey, my friend, I'm sorry. You have to step back. And ultimately, any fight can be avoided. If you avoid ego and you avoid alcohol, 99.999% of fights that were going to happen can be avoided. That's the reality. So in this situation, if they would check their egos a little bit and calm down, that would be the best thing to do. However, if the fight's going to go down, you want to end it as quickly as possible, and you want to end it without causing any permanent damage. So as soon as someone pushes you and puts their hands on your chest and shoves you back, they create an opportunity for a standing arm lock, which allows you to immobilize them very quickly and not have to go any further into the fight. And if that doesn't work, then you can stand, spin them around, push and pull on their shoulders, create a quick whip around in which you can catch a standing rear naked choke. And it's so effective that they have no choice. Either they tap or they take a nap.
Amazing, amazing. Now, I like what you said. I mean, look, humbleness, good character. Usually, this is the best self-defense, having a good attitude.
Yeah.
Ego is contained.
Self-defense against yourself.
Yes.
Check yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Before you wreck yourself.
Yes.
I'd like to thank you. Tell our audience again how they can hook up with you and how they can learn if they're not actually at
sure.
Academy.
Yes, my friends out there, if you're interested, go check out GracieUniversity.com. We have a 5 days free. You check out all the lessons, the whole curriculum, and it's really amazing, actually. And if you have kids and, you know, you're interested in giving them that confidence, check out GracieKids.com. And the same thing, the curriculum is online. You can have it on DVD or you can check it out on your phone or mobile device. And it's truly remarkable because besides the confidence, the self-defense, and the techniques that your child will gain, the bonding time between parent and child is something that we've been, you know, we've found to be one of the most unique benefits of this at-home training program, because we teach the parent how to teach their child. And in doing that every single day for 10, 15 minutes a day in the household, you really connect in a way that you don't get when you're just doing homework or just cooking their dinner or helping them tie their shoes. It goes to a much deeper level, and any child can do this. There's no physical prerequisite, and it's guaranteed to change their life forever. You know, a child with confidence and a child without confidence are two different children. So we just hope to help as many families as possible give their children the greatest advantage possible, you know, from the get-go and head in the right direction.
I'd like to thank you. And please, when you see your father, when you see your uncles, Carlos Gracie Jr., Henzo Gracie,
family.
Horian, great, your father, your brother, give them my best.
I will send them a choke from you.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, brother. Respect. Thank you. And that was Henner Gracie here on The Dean Show. Hope you got to benefit, empower your children from a young age to have the best manners, the best character, so they can be righteous, upright human beings, so they don't go out bullying anybody, and they're empowered at the same time. They're bully-proof, so if someone is coming around to start some trouble, they can defend themselves, and they can protect themselves, and empower yourself at the same time, living right, eating right, being a good human being. And that's what The Dean Show is all about, empowering you to bring out the best in you, to give birth to what's already inside you, that goodness, that original goodness that exists in all of us. So we like to thank the Gracie family who developed this martial art that I myself have tremendously benefited from. And if you're not thankful to the people, you're not thankful to your creator, the maker of mankind. And first and foremost, we're thankful to the one who's given us these abilities to train. Imagine if you couldn't block a punch, throw a punch. You couldn't eat lunch with your hands. You couldn't eat lunch. Amazing. You'd have to be getting something injected through you through a tube. Priceless blessings that we have from our Creator. So let's be first and foremost thankful to the maker of mankind, the one Creator who created creation, the same God that Jesus called the people to worship, Abraham, Moses, and last and final message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all came with the same message. Worship the Creator, not the creation, and do good, be good. And that's what The Dean Show is all about, empowering people to be the best human beings that they can be. We'll see you next time. Follow us on Facebook, like us, or opposite, I'm sorry, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and tune in every week to The Dean Show. Until next time, peace be with you.